in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27, that has to do with the man that built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand. And God is talking about the same idea is in that text as it is in what we're going to read in Mark chapter 4, talking about verse 21 and 25. I got it on. Is it on? Is it on? Can y'all hear it all right? Okay. In fact, I forgot to cut it off after Sunday school, and of course it didn't work in Sunday school, so I guess it's all right. But anyhow. So here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about this or preach on this subject for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. I don't know how long it'll take. Knowing me, it'll probably take longer than that, but we're going to do the best we can. But we need to hear this, and it's so important what you hear. Now, let me set the stage here. Let me say to you, you cannot entertain two trains of thought. Okay? You will have thoughts that will come into your thinking different times. But what will happen is the one will push the other out. In other words, let's just use lunch today for an example. Right now, forget lunch. Okay? Forget everything that's going to transpire over there, because that can interfere with what we want to do now. We want to keep your attention not on Brother Billy's good looks, but on Brother Billy's saying or what God has put in his heart for you to hear. Okay? So when you do that, you're focusing on what you're hearing, and God is able to do some great and mighty things in your life. Most people go to church and they're so pulled and torn from this to that the other, until they never get the message. That's why preaching is a job that never ceases to exist, because we can preach the same principle over 100 times before some get it the first time. Amen? So I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not being ugly. You know my heart is in tune with this. I'm not trying to be ugly. But these are some facts that we need to hear, and we need to hear them now. It's so important. In preparation for what we're going to enter into during days of refreshing, there's things that we need to know, and we need to hear from heaven, and we need God to touch our lives so that we could be a blessing and a vessel that God could use to touch in many people's lives as they come to days of refreshing. That's what it's all about. Amen. So let me say this now. Now watch me. I always use us as illustrations. I always use me and Miss Gloria's illustrations. One day she was getting ready to go to town. We've always lived 20 miles, 15 miles, something like this, from town anywhere. When we lived in Milano, it was 8 or 12 miles from where we lived to town either way. So when you go to town, you make sure you got your list so you get everything done when you go to town, because you don't want to drive back and forth. So that morning, Gloria was getting ready to go to town in Milano, and I came to her and I told her I have an important package at the dealership, the auto parts house. And would you please stop by there? You don't have to remember nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Just go in there and tell them who you are. And I think they already knew who she was. And just pick up a package for me and pay for it. And so she leaves, and she was telling me things that I need to do while I was telling her what she need to do. And so she's never got out of that mode. I mean, she's always telling you everything. She's directing. She's doing. Yeah, amen. That's Miss Gloria. Amen. So you need to pray for me that sometime in the next 100 years we can get this thing ironed out, and so she can do it. Amen. So anyhow, she goes to town. I'm still getting stuff, putting it on the truck, getting my tools, getting everything ready. The phone rings. I go to the phone, and it's her. And she said, "Honey, did you tell me to pick up something?" Are you getting it? Are you listening to me? You are the same way. Every one of us is the same way. Why do you think Jesus kept saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying"? Over and over again. It's from front to back of this book about hearing. We have to hear what the Word of God is. We tote this Bible around. We act like it is the key to everything in the world. And it is. But we have to hear what it says. Amen. Let me say something to you. There's a little old machine that got out now that you can buy for $39. You buy that machine and put it in your car, and when you're driving down the road, you can turn the radio off and you can push that thing on, and it will read the Bible to you. You can pick out certain books of the Bible, and it will literally read the Bible to you. You can get King James Version of the Bible. That's the only version, as far as I'm concerned, there is. So if you're not reading, you can hear something, you put something in. You say, why? Because that is a key to eternal life, that is key to success in your life as a Christian, as you live for Jesus in this present hour, darn day. Can I say this? It's late. It's late, people. We need to hear what God's Word has to say, okay? My parents used to do this. They used to say, boy, are you listening? When I look at these young people out here, I get to thinking about that. Are you boys listening now? And you girls, you're not exempt. Amen? Are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you hearing what God says about this, that, and the other? We better hear what God has to say. The great battle is over your attention. When you're in the house of God and the pulpit is filled with God's man, let your focus be on Him. Not because of Him, but because of what He is saying, what He is reading. Don't let something or somebody defray your thinking away from what's being said from this pulpit. You say, why? Because it is the eternal Word of God. That's why. Nothing else enters into the subject here. It's God's Word. Everything has to do with how you respond to God's Word. The decisions that you make in your life should be dependent upon what you've read or heard from the Word of God. If it is not, I guarantee you, I'll write it out, get it notarized, you're going to fail. You're going to follow your old nature, which is inside of you, which wants to tear down anything spiritual about God. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who can deliver you. How does He do it? He does it through His Word. I said this morning, you know, I'm frail, I make mistakes, my study habits are not good, on and on I could go with all of that. But let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul did not understand everything he wrote to the fullest degree. But as he continued to dwell in the book of God, he began to add on to what he already knew. And God was adding too, a little here, a little there. God is continually working in your life. God wants to direct every facet of your life. I don't want somebody telling me, listen, He's in control of your breath. He's in control of everything that happens to you. You know, Ms. James talking about having a near accident. You know, the prayers of God was answered in that woman's life. You say, well, I don't believe it. She just got out of it okay. She just escaped. Well, you can believe anything you want to. But the Bible says that if we will enter into the prayer room of God, praying for our saints, our children, our grandchildren. I pray for my children and my grandchildren every day. You say, why? The world is dangerous. The devil hates your guts. Jesus loves you. He hates you. He would love, if you're not saved, He would love for you to lose your life and go straight to hell with the rest of them. Now, this thing is serious. It is not something to play with. The world has got to the place where it's so religious it stinks. And I've gone to churches. I mean, I went to a church not long ago. I never felt so unwelcome in my life in the place that's supposed to be a place for God's people to come together. It was pathetic. And I'm not going around pointing my finger at people. I don't care what the church down the street does. It's their business. I don't care what the church down this way does. Lawler. I don't care what they do. They have a pastor. They're going to be responsible for what they do, how they do. I'm responsible for telling you what the Bible says. You're responsible for doing what the Bible says or the lack thereof. Now, watch me now. When Haley was 4 or 5 years old, she said, Paul, you act like you're mad. I'm not mad. I'm telling you, this is, you know, if you're going to tell somebody the house is on fire, you go up and say, listen, knock on the door and say, you might ought to get up and get out of here. The house is on fire. Right? What do? You scream and holler, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. Your house is burning down. They will believe you then. They will believe you. They'll see you're serious. I'm telling you this morning, this is a serious, serious matter. We have to get the eyes that God has given us, and I'm talking about spiritual eyes, to see what He's telling us in His Word. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through verse 25, listen to what it says. And He said unto them, this is Jesus, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Why do you set it up in the room on the candlestick? He said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but it shall come abroad. Now, God is so wonderful. And He tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, He says, if you'll confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All unconfessed sin that has not been cleansed, you will answer for. You will suffer through judgment of God because it is sin. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about what God said in His Word. I don't care what it is. I don't care how it happens. I don't care who's at fault. If we have an attitude of repentance concerning our lifestyle down here, God will clean our slate every day. If you don't, you will give an answer for it, one way or the other. Down here, you're not going to get to heaven and have to deal with sin. Okay? But God is going to reward you according to how you responded to what you heard and what you did with what you heard. Amen. Y'all okay? Every once in a while, smile, and I know you. Amen. Still alive. Listen to what it says. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. What's he talking about? We all got all ears. Ain't nobody in here. Amen. Got it. Jerry Clare tells a story about a little boy that was born and born without any ears. He was, I don't know, Claudel, Hudel, Waddell, all his cousins, everything. He said, we're going to go over and see that baby today. And she said, if you say one thing out of place, you say one thing derogatory about that child, I'm going to slap you into next Wednesday. You understand me, boy? Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. They went over there. They walked up. What they want to do is brag on the children. Oh, look at that boy's eyes. Ain't they beautiful? Look at them big shoulders and his hands, his feet. Oh, she said, what a precious child. What a beautiful child. And old Ardell, whatever his name is, spoke up and he said, he sure hope he has good eyesight. He ain't got nowhere to hang his glasses. Amen. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. God is telling you in these verses that you come and you have the opportunity to hear and you don't hear. That's what He's saying. Watch it, He said. And He said unto them, take heed what you hear. I talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I told them boys, don't listen to dirty jokes. Don't tell dirty jokes. Get away from people that cuss all the time. You know what a cusser is? He's pretty ignorant. In fact, but let me go a little deeper than that. He's stupid. You say, Brother Billy, I'm not scared of y'all anymore. I got Patrick on my side. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I am saying that many times, because of trying to impress people, they feel that's the way to impress people. And so they use the Lord's name in vain. Do you know what cussing is? It's using the Lord's name in vain. That's blasphemous. Most of them will say, well, I'm a Christian. I got baptized back where that. You may have got baptized, but you were certainly not a Christian if that's the way your life is lived. Period. Amen. Notice what he said. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Now, I'm going to get into a breakdown of that verse later on. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Are you listening to what he's saying here in the Word of God? He's saying that the more spiritual aspect of life that you have, you shall be added more to it. But the less that you have, shall be even that be taken away. You know, there's people out there that I heard the other day, there's pastors in the pulpit, don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee. Amen. What would you preach if you had no resurrection? What are you going to do when your eyes close in death? What's going to happen to you? They're going to take you down and say a few good words about you, stick you in the ground. That's it, brother. It's over. We'll not see you again unless you are born again and we see you in heaven. So he's saying the main focus of these verses is to hear. He's talking about hearing. The hearing foundation that God wants us to see. You know what? We have a world in America, and let's talk about America. We have a world of people out there that believe in abortion. Their kid gets in trouble, so what do? They take them down to an abortion clinic and they take a life. I remember seeing the twins on a machine that they had. And the doctor said, "Watch now, every time that flashes." I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's their heartbeat. That's their heartbeat." So we take an unknown life, an unborn life, and we're willing to destroy that, an innocent life. And yet, there's a man this past week was on the news. They have him. He's at Marlin Prison somewhere down there. He's been there in prison for 49 years. He killed two young women who were cheerleaders in the school. He raped and killed them. He's been in prison for 49 years, trying to get out now. And the family's fighting against it, and they said he got life. But there's people trying to let the man out. The Bible teaches capital punishment. If you take a life, your life shall be taken. In those extenuating circumstances, if the man was in prison for 49 years, it's a possibility that this all happened 51, 52 years ago. He might have had a chance for appeal, and he didn't get it. But the man should have been dead 48 years ago because of what he did. He took lives away from innocent children, innocent people. His life should be taken. You say, "I don't agree with that." I don't care what you believe. The Bible says capital punishment is the way. Are you listening? We have a society. We have people out there. I wrote a letter to Lloyd Benson. He was the devil himself. He said, "I don't like that." I don't care if you like it or not. I'm telling you the truth. I wrote Lloyd Benson a letter. He was going to vote on something like abortion or something like this. And I told him what I believed. He wrote me a letter back and said he was so much smarter than I was and that he would vote correctly and right for all the people. My wife throwed a fit to the grocery store we used to use in Cameron, Texas because they they were open on Sunday, but they were closed on Saturday. And my wife said, "Why are you need to reverse that?" He said, "Because most people want to be shop on Sunday." You know what the Bible says? I'm not saying don't go to Walmart. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you we've gotten a long way from what the Bible says. The Lord's day is Sunday. It's not your day. It's not your day. I remember hearing stories about my grandparents that cooked on Saturday so they wouldn't have to cook on Sunday and work on Sunday. They believed God. They believed God's word. They were afraid of what would happen to them if they didn't abide by the word of God in the law of God. Now, as time goes on, we get more liberal. What you accept today, you will embrace tomorrow. We need to have some standards. We need to stand for what's right. We need to believe God's word. We need to hear it and hear it and hear it and believe everything that He says. The Word of God is saturated with us hearing what God has to say. We are told to call on Him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Amen. Things that you've never seen, you can call on God, and He will not only answer your prayer in what you ask for, but He'll show you other things that you've never even dreamed of. Amen. Everybody's talking, but nobody's listening. I know my little wife is hearing this. We turn on the news every night and watch the news. Amen. The guy starts out by saying some story that's happening. So, and Gloria begins to immediately talk about the story. I said, honey, let's listen to the information before we talk about it. Watch me. You cannot learn while your mouth is running. Isn't this a blessing? Ain't y'all glad y'all got out in the cold weather and come to church this morning? Amen. No. Listen. He's telling us to listen. He's telling us that we must listen to hear what everything is happening. Everybody's talking, but nobody's listening. We want the Lord to answer our prayers. Let me say something. You wouldn't ask a lot of things if you knew what the Bible says about your prayer life. Okay? No sense asking Him about certain things. Well, I hate Him. Lord, would you help me? No, He won't. He won't hear you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 64:2, I believe it is. We wouldn't pray like we do if we only listened to God's Word. It says about Him hearing you. God will hear you as your vessel is clean of sin. That's when He hears you. I tell you one thing, you can say what you will. I do use Miss Gloria and myself as examples all the time. That's two good examples, but I'd rather have her praying for me than I had a lot of people I know in church. You say, why? She's so naive, she's just as innocent as she can be. Amen? I mean, she believes God for stuff. You know where the answer to your prayer is? And how you believe. The guy came to Jesus and he had leprosy. He said, would you heal me? God said, you believe it can? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's healed. Amen. Amen. We need to see if we believe in what we're saying and asking God to do. Do we believe that? Amen. I used Zelma this morning as a good example. Amen. She believed God. And God did some things in her life that affected this church in a mighty way. Amen. I love what Jerry said one time. I was preaching and I said, you know, people can throw a rock and hit the church and they're not faithful to church. And one of these days you're going to be sorry you didn't go because it won't be here anymore. There'll be a lock on the door. Something will happen. Jerry came to me after the service and he said, you know I'm the only one around here who can throw a rock and hit the church. I said, boy, I'm glad you caught on to that. Amen. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. You know what I realized? He heard. Do you know a lot of times the only way to get through to you is if something like that is pointed at your face and said just exactly like that about that rock and hitting the church? Stirred him up. You know I'm the only one around here who can throw a rock and hit the church. I said, praise God. Amen. You know what? We wouldn't pray as we do unless we was right with God. We only listen to God's Word when somebody else is saying it and we're really not grasping it as we should. We're too busy talking than listening. We can't hear and learn while talking. Patrick, I hate to tell this, okay? Last week we were sitting together over here and we were talking at lunch. My wife couldn't wait. We got in the car. She said, what did Patrick say? I said, he didn't say anything. She said, now I seen Patrick talking. And she said, you was the only one sitting there. I want to know what y'all were talking about. I said, ain't none of your business. If we'd have wanted you to know, we'd have called you and said, Gloria, come out here. We're talking. Amen. You know why she said that, Brother Patrick? Let me tell you why. Because he very seldom talked much. Now, I like it when he looks at the boys or he says something to the boys and they suck it up. Right? Doesn't have to say a whole lot, does he? Amen. That is a key to success as a Christian. Don't talk so much. Let your life display what you believe and what you stand for. I want to say again, I'll say it several times. Are you listening? How can we talk and listen? You can't. Hearing is the direct and express line of revelation from God. Let me say that again. Hearing is the direct, yes, amen, expressed line of revelation from God. To understand better, we must have hearing with a purpose. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you hear and you apply, you're going to be the better for it. If you just hear and hear and hear and hear, that's why he says you don't have ears to hear. If you had ears to hear, you're talking about applying it. Let me say something. Watch me. You know why you're here? You know why you're in this life? To lead somebody to Christ. As a congregation, as a whole, you know why this church is here? To evangelize as much as we can around the world. That's why we have missionaries. That's our responsibility. It's not to do good, do better, and all that stuff, even though that's a part of it. Sanctification is a process of Jesus Christ moving from where you used to be to being like Him. That's what He's doing. Why is that? So that people could see Christ in us. So that people could realize that God loves them. So that people will come to Christ in repentance and God will save their soul. But He has to see it. He has to see it. Prove what is that perfect will of God in your life. The first thing I want to talk about is that He's talking about here, and I've already said this, so I'm just going to scantily hit it. Jesus said in many places in the Gospels, He said it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, and then in the Gospels He says 10 times, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Also in Revelation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, He said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say." I believe God is interested in your hearing. Amen. The first thing I want to point out is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is the foundational truth about hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Why is it you can preach the gospel time after time after time after time and nothing seems to happen? There's not hearing. They're not hearing what He's saying. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your soul. God is dealing with the devil all the time about your soul. God wants the world to see that this is not the end. This life is not it. Because one day this life will be over. But your spiritual man will continue on. You have a spirit and you have a soul. It's embodied, that's in your body. Those two have to be saved. They have to be born again. Your body's going to fade away. It's going to go to nothing. You're going to be resurrected one day, and God will give you, as a Christian, He'll give you a new body. Hallelujah. I believe it's going to resemble the one that I have now. I hope a lot better looking. It's going to be a lot younger. It's going to be a blessed thing. There'll be no sickness, no death, no tears, no, all that stuff will be gone. But your soul has to be born again. And without that birth in Jesus Christ, you only have the old devil in there. And guess what he's going to do? Exactly what he wants to do. And he's going to take you with him. Just exactly like Jesus said, you're indwelled with the Spirit of God. And why does he put that in? That's the gasoline. To move your man around, that's the gasoline. That's how we operate. You have to have gas to drive your truck and your car. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God to know how to live for Jesus Christ. But the devil's in there too. God wants to put in gas. The devil wants to siphon it out. He wants to leave you in his way, which means you're king. You're the one running the show. It's all about you. Get what you can all you can. And God is saying, no, give it away. Give something to somebody. Help somebody along the way to accomplish. So faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's talking about salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The key in that is diligently seek Him. Seek God with all your heart. Somebody said, "Well, you look like a sissy if you go up there and shake Brother Billy's hand and get saved." Whatever. Remember what I said, the devil speaks one way and the Holy Spirit speaks another? Did you know, watch me, did you know that you can be used and led around by the nose by the devil? I like what one preacher said, the devil's here this morning and one of y'all brought him. Amen. What hurts a lot of services in our churches today? You brought him here. Maybe you had a fight with your wife. Maybe you had a fight with your girlfriend. Wow. Maybe you don't like the preaching. Maybe you don't like whatever. We come into the house of God to hear from heaven. You see, when I came over this morning, I believe with every fiber of my being that God said in His Word that we're two or three together in His name, there'd be in the midst. I believe Jesus is here. If most people come to church and believe that Jesus is here, it would change what they do and how they respond. Jesus, watch me, is here. I like what one preacher said. I know He's here because I talked to Him this morning. Said He'd be here. Amen. You say, how did He do that? Well, He read it in the book. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Conviction He brings. Amen. I don't like you pointing your finger at me. Conviction. Okay? Godly sorrow. Conviction works godly sorrow. Godly sorrow causes repentance. Repentance and faith are Siamese twins. You can't separate the two. If you're sorry for your sin and you repent and ask God to save you and you trust Him and believe Him, your faith and repentance births you into the kingdom of God. Let me say something to you, and you ain't never going to be the same. Amen? I don't like change. You will this one, unless you get out of the will of God. The second thing I want to say is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is a process in which I talked about last week. It is a sanctification process. Matthew 4:19 says this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now watch me. You can't save a roach that's sick. I got no response hardly at all. Y'all have seen roaches, haven't you? Seen how ugly they are? Nasty. You couldn't save one. According to this Bible, you can't save nothing. You can't do nothing. Spiritually, that is. But I'm going to tell you what. God says, if you will follow me, how are you going to follow Him? You're going to hear the Word of God? You're going to believe the Word of God with all of your fiber of being? Understand it? No. Not in every case. Just follow His leadership. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will cause things to happen in your life that people will come to you and say, man, what happened to you? One of my best friends in the world. I love this guy with all of my heart. I don't know if something's wrong with him. I've been thinking about him for the last couple of weeks. We were so close. We were such close friends. When I got saved, I talked to him about it. And he left that day with his horse and horse trailer. And he's never had nothing to do with me since. It's one of the most horrible things I've ever experienced. I love this guy. He loved me. We rode horses all over the country. We cowboyed together. I never learned to rope. But he was a pretty good roper. Amen. And I tried. The first cast I ever caught, running down the arena, I had so used to never catching one. I caught a calf. I eased up in the left stirrup. My little horse done her job and locked it up. And I fell out of the saddle. My foot hung in the saddle. And I stood up in the middle of the arena on my head with my calf out there hollering and carrying on and my horse standing there looking at me. Oh, everybody got a big laugh out of that. Most of them couldn't rope either. Amen. I love that guy. We were such a, I mean, everything we did it together. We worked together. We played together. We did everything together. But when I talked to him about the Lord Jesus, that man in him was so strong that he rejected that truth that he could throw me away. And I know that he loved me as much as I loved him. I think about him on a regular basis. He's a judge over out of Bryan College Station, a little bitty town. Got money, got everything in the world. But he rejected the truth of God. He rejected God's salvation. Unless something happens through maybe some other vessel that God has out there, he will die in his sins and go straight to hell. I can't even imagine my friend in hell. And yet that's exactly what will happen. Sanctification process is for God to grow us. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10 said, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. Now, that's not the whole verse. That's a paraphrase. But God wants to use a little here, a little there, a precept after precept, setting forth these ideas. day after day, time after time, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon after Sunday afternoon, that you get a little bit in you at a time so that you can understand what God is doing. But you have to hear. Are you listening? The third thing is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, dull of hearing. I believe America is there. Dull of hearing meaning it becomes harder and harder and harder and harder to hear the truth. In America, we have people who call themselves Christians, who are religious as rain, and yet they have not the Spirit of Christ. We are where we are today because of Christians who have failed in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, confess their sins, come clean with God, then will I hear from heaven. You see, that's why you can't just pray anything you want to. Did you know the heathen prays? They do. I hear Sean Hannity every once in a while say, we're going to pray for you. He said he's a diehard Catholic. He says he prays in Mary's name, not in Jesus' name. I love to hear Sean Hannity. He's brought out a bunch of the crooks and the roaches in Washington, D.C. But I'm telling you something. You need to hear the Scripture. The Scripture says it's in Jesus' name in which we pray. We talk to the Father because of what Jesus has done. So you address your prayer to the Father and you close your prayer with Jesus' name. God is going to hear what Jesus says. Now most people don't do that. I get so sick. I want to throw up. Amen, Ed. I'm telling you. You know what they say? They say a long, lengthy prayer and they say, in thy name. Thy who? The world don't want to hear Jesus' name. Tim Tebow was interviewed right after he got in the pros. And he said something about the Lord Jesus. And honey, they cut him off. You know why you shouldn't listen to a bunch of those stations? Because they hate Jesus Christ. They don't have nothing to do with him. Let me say something to you. Works won't get it done. It's the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Hebrews 5 talks about dull of hearing, being dull of hearing. Listen, how do you get dull of hearing? The routine of not hearing will get you dull of hearing. Laodicean, the Bible says, the Laodicean church said, we're rich, we have need of nothing. And those verses go on and tell us that he said, you have not, because of what you said about your condition. You need to come up to the truth. You need to believe the truth. You're doing all right. You think you're all right with God. You can do what you want to do. You can act the way you want to act. God's going to, because of you, God's going to take that into consideration and he's going to pat you on the back and say, well, that's good. You did all right. No. God is holy and righteous and pure. Well, a preacher, I don't want to be holy. I ought to join the holiness church over there. Maybe the Baptist church ought to get a little holiness in them. Thank you very much. I appreciate every amen I get. Notice he said here, he said, you don't even know, you get to the place where you don't even know you're poor, you're wretched, and you're blind. But he still gives them opportunity. I knock at the door. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will let me in, if anybody will repent, then we have the illustration of Matthew chapter 7 that I've already talked about, 24 and 27. He who heareth him and builds his house upon the rock shall be spared. But I will liken him that doesn't build his house on the word of God, on the rock, that he built his house upon the sand, and he shall be destroyed. I didn't say that. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 said, a wise man, watch me here, will hear and will get understanding. A wise man will, that's the determination of the Christian. You have to will it so. But when he says, and will get understanding, that's God's part. The first will is your part, the second will is his part. The verse I've already used, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's saying, your part is to follow me. My part is to make you fishers of men. Ding, ding. This is profound. Watch me now. This is profound. You cannot live the Christian life. You getting it? You cannot. I want you to hear this. You cannot live the Christian life. Somebody has to live it through you. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't follow His Spirit and His guidance and His direction, you know what will happen? He'll destroy your life physically, and if you're not saved, eternally. You cannot do what this book teaches. You know what the Ten Commandments is all about? It was to show man that he couldn't keep it. You know what the Ten Commandments is about? It was our schoolmaster to bring us to God. If you were put in the right circumstance, you'd blow somebody away with a gun. But the Bible says don't murder. Now, I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about murder. I'm talking about murder. Cold-blooded murder. The devil would lead you right into that trap. You'd spend the rest of your life in prison, just like that guy over yonder killing two girls. Those people shouldn't have to get out every 5 or 6 years or whatever it is and protest against this man. He ought to be dead. He had on a fine suit. Guess who bought it? You did, with your taxes. And he goes to the best dentist in prison, gets a haircut, amen, Charlie. They probably cut his bangs off nice and smooth. We're paying for him. The worm should have already got full of him a long time ago. Brother Billy, you shouldn't be so hard. I am not hard. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The key is, are you listening? We must hear, not what you want to hear, nor make the Bible say what you want it to say, or even what you think it says, but what it says plain and simple. Amen. It is God's Holy Spirit Himself that opens the Scripture as we hunger and we will it to hear what God has to say. The Word, the flesh, and the devil will steal His Word from your heart. Now, I've told you this before. Maybe you didn't hear it like I wanted you to hear it. Before you leave this building this morning, we go over here and eat, and we have a good time, fellowship together. Before you leave this building, you make sure that you, in an humble spirit and humble attitude, say to the Lord, Lord, seal these truths to my heart. You say, why? Because the devil can take them out. The world, the flesh, and the devil is out there to kill you. You know what the Bible says? I am sowing seed this morning, and it depends on what kind of ground you are as to what the results will be. You sow seeds on good soil, what do you get? You get a crop. You sow seeds on stony ground, everything like this. They may spring up, but they're going to die. Remember this, and I close. I'm not trying to be ugly, but remember this. I am responsible for what I told you this morning. I'm responsible for standing in this pulpit, and nobody knows what that responsibility feels like unless you were there, unless you are there. You know what's made this church great? The people that sit out there heard, and they honored their pastor as God's word to their heart, and God has blessed people in this church all through these years. We've been here 38 years. Glory told somebody the other day we've been here 35 years, and I stomped around there, and I said, what's the matter with this woman? I ain't giving up 3 years for nothing. Either get the facts right or keep quiet. Amen. 38 years, and God's blessed because a handful of people trusted in the Word of God. But you're responsible for what you hear, and you will give an account for your hearing or the lack thereof of God's Word. Now remember this, and I'm through. Remember this. What I told you this morning, to the best of my ability, has nothing to do with Billy Barhol. Nothing. This is the Word of God that pertains to Billy Barhol. That's notes. That's everything in the world here. This is God's Word. You better hear it, and you better trust it. It is eternal. And one day through all the ages to come, no time, just the ages to come, will rejoice around this book. Please stand with me. Lord, I bless you and I praise you and I thank you for this time we've had this morning. Lord, seal these truths to my heart. Help me, O God, to realize the importance of what we've read this morning and what we've said this morning from the Word of God. Be with your people. Help each one, dear God. Touch each heart. Touch each soul. Help them to respond to the Holy God. And Lord, we'll bless you for it and thank you for it. Lord, we ask you to bless the food and the fellowship next door. I pray you'd help us in every effort that we have. And we'll bless you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.